Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 60 of the Peak of Serenity podcast. I am one of your hosts, Emelson, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, Anomaly.
Hello.
And this week, we have a little bit of a grab bag of smaller topics. We've got some hotfixes that went in this week. We've got a few bits and pieces about bugs that have been found recently, some more severe than others.
Heck,
and can I talk a little bit more about Valor again? And well, let's get right into it with what happened this week, Anom.
Yeah, there was a couple of things. One a little bit funnier than others, but we'll start with sort of an easy-ish one. Blizzard released a hotfix to essentially fix some of the pulls, really the initial pull in Mists of Terranus Scythe, where you can pull some of the mobs through the wall right, along a pathway you would not normally take. They fixed it, and then there's been already, I think, a workaround to that fix. And I don't know if they actually made another change after the fact, but there is still a way to pull mobs through that wall. Essentially, it's when you first encounter the maze. There's only two mobs there in that initial little room. You can pull mobs, I believe it's on the right-hand side of that hallway, if you sort of get high enough and sort of glide your way down in.
So Demon Hunter thing.
Yeah, Demon Hunter. I think Druid is like the example video on WoWhead uses a Druid. Actually, a Boomkin doing like the flap thing. But yeah, there's still ways to pull it through. You just can't do it the normal way, which is like you could basically sit and like shove yourself in a corner and like clip one of the mobs with an ability and pull them through. So yeah, slight change there to Mists. I don't know why they would do that, but
yeah, it's one of those things where the way people were using it is to set up pridefuls, right? Like to make sure you got a prideful at the time you wanted it, regardless of the variance in the maze's pull percentage. Which, side note, like normally I wouldn't mind the variance in the pull percentage on Mists, because basically all it does is either you don't have to pull a pack after the last boss, or you do have to pull a pack after the last boss. That's all it is, really. Except that they combined it with this tier's seasonal effects that cares about the exact percentages that you have, right?
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that's
fun. I don't know if this is a fun detected thing or just a like, hey, this bug doesn't really materially change anything. Why do we even mess with it, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, obviously, when they implemented the bug fix, they probably didn't know that Druids and Demon Hunters could still fix it. And it sounds like the fix for that bug then is pretty simple. You just make the invisible wall taller.
I call it, basically, yeah.
But right now it's in a state where it's actually still, you can still do this. You just need specifically a Demon Hunter or a Druid in order to do it.
Exactly. So. Exactly. So, yeah, so not the best fix from old Blizzard on this one. Next up, we had a change. I think we mentioned this last week, but Blazing Ingots, and it actually extended to Anima Cones, which was an Ardenwald world quest. But the Blazing Ingots is, of course, the world quest in the mall, where you run around that first little area right outside of the where you kind of land and pick up bars. So with 9.0.5, essentially, it was first come, first serve. You looted one, and then no one else could loot it around you, and it had like a fairly long respawn timer.
Right.
So what they did to fix this, which is actually pretty funny, is before 9.0.5, they were sort of personal lootable. Like you looted one, your friend could loot the same one, it would disappear for you, disappear from them. It was not a huge deal. What they actually ended up doing was there's still a respawn time. It's just very short. So like when I was doing actually this war quest with a friend the other day, and we would normally just be able to loot the same one. But now what would end up happening is like one of us would actually get the loot. The other person would fail looting and they would have to wait half a second for like the ingot to respawn for them to loot it. So they fixed it kind of. I mean, I don't know what sort of changed to break it in the first place, but it's no longer an issue, I will say.
Yeah. The longer you play WoW, the more you realize it's just a pile of spaghetti.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, so I probably something to do with Valor. Let's be honest with ourselves.
an unlimited system that's honestly a pretty good guess. Is that true?
Exactly. So speaking of Valor, they actually made a change to Valor, which I don't know if it's a good one or a bad one, but now it's not looted anymore at the end of a dungeon. You just get it for completing your mythic pluses.
So what was happening is people were kicking people from the dungeon before they got to loot the chest. Now, this is something that we've had protections in literally since Legion, you know, when the system debuted, where if you are kicked from a dungeon, you still get the loot from the chest. Like, if the chest has loot for you, it gets mailed to you. That wasn't applying to Valor. It also doesn't apply to Anima, but nobody cares about the 35 Anima at the end of it, so...
Now we need 10,000 for any upgrade.
So, the Valor, though, people do care about. And so once people realized that that was the case, some people started trolling with it. So they would just, like, get to the end of the dungeon,
so good,
kick everyone, or kick people that weren't in their, like, friend group, and then those people just don't get Valor for it. And since a bunch of people are doing keys specifically for Valor right now, like, they just don't care about the loot at the end of it. I would say this is a good hotfix. So basically what happens is when the key is completed, you get Valor. It's not something where you need to loot the chest at the end.
Yeah, so I mean, a good change for the troll aspect of it. I think stuff like that, it sucks if it happens to you, and I would probably be upset if it happened to me, but I still think it's funny at the end of the day.
Like, I mean, it is. It's something that really has a much bigger effect if you're pugging, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like,
for sure.
If you have to spend 30 minutes just finding a key because you're a DPS, and you spend 45 minutes in this trash can key, and then you get kicked at the end, and you don't even get anything from it.
It's just, I know it sounds so bad, but I just find that hilarious.
I would be logging off. Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah.
I would not be logging back on for a couple of days.
Yeah. But that's still, it's for whatever reason, I still think it. Definitely frustrating, not going to deny it, but it brings me back, right? It brings me back to playing this game in vanilla, where you used to be able to ninja loot and people didn't, like, call on Daddy Blizzard, right? And get you in trouble for it, so. But in any event, so no longer need to loot it, gets mailed to you, solid change. We then have, hold on, let me count, 1, 2, 3, 4 separate invisibility pot hotfixes. So, since 9.0.5, invisibility potions have essentially been breaking on a bunch of things. It's been on Covenant powers, it's been on actual talents, it's been on just passives that you have in your class. Essentially, you'd pop an invisibility potion, and it would break immediately. You wouldn't do anything, you wouldn't cast anything like that. You wouldn't even be near a mob, it would just break. So,
or even worse, you would be partway through doing your invisibility skip, and then it would break.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, and then it's just, you know, all hell breaks loose. So, in any event, Blizzard has released 4 separate hotfixes, 4 individual hotfixes, essentially targeting certain abilities that have been breaking it and sort of going down the list and fixing those. So,
yeah.
This has to be one of the more interesting bugs, right, in terms of, like, I wonder what changed from a combat ticking perspective, because... Like, that's what this is, right? This is, like, this is just, like, passive auras that tick regardless. And, like, for whatever reason, them ticking is now pulling you out of stealth. And I'm wondering if it has to do with maybe a prideful skip, like, the...
Probably. Potentially. They've tried to do another fix to prideful. So, and probably just didn't check invisibility potions on anything else.
Yeah.
So, notably, there was... One of the main things that could cause invis pots to break since 9.0.5 was buffs expiring.
Oh, yeah.
So I heard that, yeah. That's a very common theme, and Brewmaster had a couple of them. Shuffle could do it when that expired. And Rushing Jade Wind, which, let's be honest, you should have canceled before you hit your invis pot. Because that can clip mobs while you're invis, and it will break you out of invis. So that's still one you got to cancel. But before these hotfixes, if you used your invis pot and it went, oh shit, I need to cancel this, and then canceled it, it would also cancel your invisibility pot. So
right, yeah.
Those have been fixed, though. Invisibility pots should work again.
Awesome. That is great news. It's great news. So yeah, so after, you know, I'm assuming there's probably still a couple of abilities left, so we might see a couple more of these coming down. But yeah, Blizzard is at least actively looking into this and trying to fix it. So
yeah,
that is fun. So next up, another sort of, we had more, I guess, Castle Nathria hot fixes and changes and things like that. So Lady Enerva Darkvein received a quick update, basically just to shared suffering and concentrate anima. Essentially, they were not targeting healers at all. So they made a fix to basically target them, I think, less. Like, they made an initial fix to basically lower the amount of times a healer would get picked for these abilities, which I guess reduced it to zero. And then now they've sort of re-added it, so it's still a lower chance, but healers can now be hit by these. So,
yeah. Which, I mean, I don't know if that really makes much of a difference in the difficulty of the fight. Like, if you just stacked healers so they couldn't be targeted, you couldn't make DPS check. So,
It does lessen what healers have to care for in that fight. Since you do only run three, it's a little bit, I wouldn't say it's a hard fight to heal, but it's just a little bit more difficult. So like adding in healer movement and anything like that might do something, but it's minor movement at best. So
yeah.
That's the Darkvein fix. They also did a couple of Artificer Zymox changes, health reduction, and then Withering Touch damage reduction. So his overall health was reduced by 5%, and then Withering Touch, excuse me, damage was reduced by 15%.
That second one's going to be good for, this boss is probably just impossible to pug, just like period, but if you're a late stage mythic guild, mm-hmm. it's going to make it a lot easier. Withering Touch is, like, it's just a dot that goes on random members of the raid, and it does a lot of damage. They need like targeted healing on them to keep them alive. It's not like a disgusting amount of damage, but this is one of those things that will kill people while you're progressing it.
They definitely need focus. And the other thing too is that particularly if anybody that's running seeds for you gets Withering Touch, generally they needed a defensive if they were going to run a far seeds. So if they had Withering Touch plus running seeds, they'd need a defensive to survive. Now you might be okay with getting away with just maybe a health potion. This is just a general change. Also, Withering Touch brought people low for other damage that went out during the fight.
Right.
So it sort of, you know, just keeps people alive.
The health change. What do you think of that? This is already a fight where people were sometimes holding damage because of Zekul style fight timers.
Health reductions, I think timing wise, it just sort of changes a little bit, but it basically makes it so you may be able to push him lower and get closer to I don't think it's cutting off the really bad overlap, but getting it to where like that overlap becomes less and less of an issue, right? You can lose half the raid in that overlap and still kill it, right? Because his health will be 5% lower.
That's true.
I think timing wise, to be fair, I haven't done this boss in like 3 months, so
yeah, same.
I know the
other raid team in my guild were doing a damage stop on it on reclear this week, so I don't think this is one of those things where probably guilds like ours, when we get back to it, we're gonna have to do damage stops, and it's gonna be really annoying on farm. But for people just working on it now, it'll probably make it easier.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because like these sort of nerfs, I don't think I've ever enjoyed like the rolling nerfs like this, because it's so inconsistent. Excuse me.
Yeah.
In that you never know when Blizzard's going to make a change. So like we used to joke, and maybe it's kind of true this tier, but it's less true this tier, in that like you could use EJ as your gauge, right? If Elitist Jerks was on a boss. Yeah. It was probably either getting nerfed or they just killed the boss.
Is EJ even on Stone Legion yet? I think they're still on Sludge.
No, I think they're still on Sludge, yeah. I haven't looked at their progress this week, but
I would be surprised, actually, if we see nerfs to Sludge Fist, because it's just like a very straightforward, fair fight. And
It's damage and HPS check, yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I could see is, and I guess when it inevitably gets nerfed at some point this tier, we can check and see if I get it right. Would be the amount of time you have to get in the second set of soaks on each pillar. That's the only thing I could see them doing.
Interesting. Yeah. I wonder, I'd have to look at what we killed it at and what our eye level is now. Cause I wonder too, if like they end up reducing the damage of maybe like Chain Slam or something like that. Right.
They already did 35%.
Oh, they did? Okay.
Yeah, that's part of the big hot fixes that they got.
Gotcha. Yeah, then I don't know. Yeah, I guess maybe it's more time to soak because that'll be the only thing that kills you at that point, based on gear. So, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't like nerfs like this because I'd rather them, like, to me, the perfect way to nerf a tier was ICC. And ICC, I don't know if you remember, but ICC had a stacking buff
every week.
Yeah. And like, that's to me, the perfect way to do it because you could turn it off, of course, right? And it started late enough in the tier that like most of the guilds that were not going to use it or want to use it had completed the raid at that point or were close enough that they could turn it off and say, hey, I did it without the buff. But
yeah,
I mean, to me, that's like, it's almost perfect. But I mean, Blizzard has now sort of gone away from that. And then now they do sort of more targeted nerfs to fights, which the problem with that is just inconsistent. You never know when you're going to see it. And like, if you're progressing on Zymox right now, like your timings are screwed. with the health there. So.
Zymox isn't that sensitive to timings, at least. Right. Like, it'll be annoying, but it's not going to be like Stone Legion General. If they nerf the health on Stone Legion Generals by 5%, holy hell, if you are progressing that, have like good fucking luck.
Yeah, good luck with that, buds.
But yeah, Zymox isn't that bad about it. It's just kind of annoying. But I will say, this is a fun fact. There are more guilds that have killed Darkvein than there are Zymox.
Really? To be fair, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, this is something that I didn't think about because like we killed Zymox first. Because Darkvein was more of a gear check, Zymox is a mechanics check. Now, you know, as the tier has progressed, we're at the point where a lot of guilds that are like the heroic into mythic, well, they have the gear to make the gear check on Darkvein, so the mechanics check boss is going to be harder.
It's interesting. I kind of like that, to be fair. It's interesting that you can see that flip flop as like tiers go on, for sure. So cool. And then there were a couple of Denathrius nerfs, but those were just heroic only items. Oh,
there's one mythic change.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Holy priests. There are currently zero Denathrius kills with holy priests, by the way, on mythic. Yep. Spirit of Redemption can no longer neutralize your allies on mythic difficulty. So for those that aren't familiar, in the last phase of Sire Denathrius, you split into two groups. One of them goes in the mirror realm, one of them goes into the real world. And if the mirror realm person, or if a mirror realm person and a real realm person touch, they both instantly die. It is 3 million damage. So technically, someone could like pop an immunity. Maybe. I actually don't know. It might pierce immunities, but you might be able to pop an immunity and like kill your entire raid. But. So Spirit of Redemption was neutralizing people. And since you can't move during it, it meant that, for example, if a holy priest got targeted by a soak and then went to drop it off and died while they were dropping it, nobody could go and soak it because they would touch the Spirit of Redemption and instantly die.
That's awesome. That is amazing. It's funny that no one ever tests. Like, do people not test that? Like,
I mean, look at Stone Legion Generals.
Which, in fairness,
like, Sire Denathrius is so much better than Generals. Like,
yeah,
it's unbelievable. We were progressing it last night where, you know, we had some issues with our kicks in phase two. And we started making good progress once we got that resolved. And we're starting to progress phase three now. And it's just like night and day how much fun that boss is compared to Stone Legion Generals. It is not just like, yeah, I like the boss, but the boss is a lot more fun to tank than Generals was. When you make progress, you can tell that you're making progress.
Right, yeah.
You get to a new mechanic, you learn to do that mechanic, you continue. None of this like, oh, we wiped an intermission one because our timers were wrong.
Exactly, yeah. We got the second, like queuing and not the first queuing, which we've gotten the last 10 pulls. So
yeah,
we have to reel in the positioning here. Yeah. No, yes, Denathrius look like a ton of fun. So
you're going to have a good time on farm, I guess. But
yeah, on farm. Well, hopefully walking in one shot, that'll be the plan.
Yeah, I doubt it just because of tuning, but.
We'll see. Yeah, for sure. We'll see. But I
don't know about you guys. My goal is I don't think either team has ever walked into an end boss and one-shotted on their first reclear.
Yeah, no. And I, to be fair, I probably won't be in. Like, we normally do a 2 or 3 kill, like, basically set the take the first, whatever the original kill comp was, and take that the next 2 or 3 kills, and then start subbing people in, or as least close as we can. Generally for healers, we like to keep pretty consistent.
Yeah, I think for us, we'll probably, like, we have 3 hunters and we're only running 2 on this boss.
Yeah.
So we might like take one of those hunters and swap them so that the other person can get their kill. Gotcha. But healers, I don't know that we will swap out healers for the first re-kill.
Yeah. It's normal. They're a little bit tougher to do that. So
yeah.
So cool. And then I think the only other final thing this week was they did do some Spiteful updates. So Spiteful is, of course, the affix this week. That's the one where whenever you kill a mob, it spawns a shade that will fixate an individual in your group and sort of hit them for a ton of damage, but also slowly lose health over, I think it's like 12 to 15 or so seconds. You can, of course, DPS these shades to speed that up. But basically, it's sort of like kill everything, run away, CC those. You can like stun them and root them and things like that. But what they ended up doing was, from a Spiteful perspective, if you do get fixated by one of the mobs, you get a debuff on you that says you're being fixated, which then you can translate into much easier weak aura, you know, triggering and things like that to let you know you're being targeted.
And to be clear, like weak auras have existed for this prior to 9.0.5.
Right, yeah.
The way they worked was by looking at target of target on each Spiteful to tell you if you were targeted. So this just makes it easier and a little bit more efficient, but not, I don't think your Spiteful weak aura is going to be a big difference in your frame rate, let's be honest.
Right. So, I mean, the nice change though is if you use like default UI or don't use weak auras, you now have a debuff that you can see. They also changed the graphic of the, so of course you get little eyes over you. It's sort of the standard, I think, graphic that Blizzard uses for almost every fixate.
Yeah.
They were like purplish bluish, and now they're like bright red eyes over your head. So, you know,
the one time this tier that I am happy they made something red.
Exactly. But yeah, so slight change, right? It's easier if you're not using weak auras, you can sort of see that you have something fixated you from a Spiteful perspective, and then you'll have the eyes also directly above your character.
So there's also a little bit of speculation in the Wowhead post about the range being reduced. I did a couple keys today on a Warlock. So like Grain of Salt, that is a ranged character, not a melee character. But the range from which the Spiteful hit me did seem to be lower than it had been in the past. Like it seemed to actually match their model instead of like randomly getting meleeed from a mile away.
Gotcha.
So I do think that Spiteful melee range has been fixed.
That's good. That's good news too. So cool. I think that's everything for the week. I guess real quick, before we jump into sort of what we're going to talk about, I wanted to ask you, how is your Sire progression actually going? I guess you mentioned you've been making it into phase 2 now.
Yes, we're making it into phase 3.
Phase 2,
still got some stuff to clean up in phase 2. Like we're making it into phase 3, but I have no cooldowns.
Gotcha.
And that means that I go and I take the first shatter and just die. I don't have any cooldowns. So that's obviously not ideal. So we still have some work to do to clean up phase 2, but we're making good progress, I think. I am pretty happy with it. And honestly, this boss is so much better. I cannot say that enough. If you are working on Stone Legion generals and you're like, oh my God, this boss, I just
can't do it.
You're burning out. Sire Denathrius is so much better. It is just like, if you can suffer through and finish Stone Legion generals, Sire Denathrius is like a breath of fresh air. It is what you want a raid boss to be.
That's awesome.
I would say it's going pretty well. Biggest issue we had yesterday was actually just missing kicks on the melee add in phase 2.
Oh, God.
Which is annoying. And it's one of those things where it doesn't literally instantly wipe you when it happens. But what happens is that it does 18k damage to the entire raid, which is a lot, and interrupts you. And if you're casting, that also includes a spell lock. So if you were, say, a priest and you were pressing smite, then suddenly you're holy locked for what, 6 seconds?
Yep.
So obviously very bad, because not only does the 18k damage mean there's more healing that you need now, the spell lock means that you're even farther behind on healing than you would be otherwise. So it results. Oh, and shaman kicks are a spell. If you get silenced or interrupted or like nature locked, you cannot interrupt. So things can change very quickly. If someone misses a kick, and that interrupts, say, an elemental shaman that's supposed to be your next kick, then they can't get their kick, and then the raid just dies. So
yeah, then you're just at that point.
So yeah, definitely kind of annoying, but we got that problem resolved. And once we got that resolved, people were pretty consistent, and we were making really good progress. So I'm excited about raid tomorrow.
That's awesome. Cool. Yeah. And I guess, I mean, I am not progressing on Sire. I am on the bench, but my guild actually got Sire Thursday. So in one of the most epic boss kills I've seen in a while, or at least end boss. Like
the mage in the ice block in the red shit.
No, even better. So we had the final Ravage hit everyone. So wiped most of the raid. We had one mage in an ice block, and one of our resto shamans onked and started just like throwing out whatever he could. But one of our DKs is Necro and had the armor thing that keeps you alive for six or eight seconds afterwards. And literally the boss falls over as he dies. So like there's this whole, like the entire raid is like, you can hear I watched a bunch of POVs for all the people that streamed, and like people are just like, kill it, go. And like one guy, like our resto shaman that onked, like when he died, just screams out the F word, like just like F, and he slams his desk. And then like immediately he's like, oh my God, we killed it. So there's like this whole like, oh, we wiped it, like 0.01%. Then, oh my God, we killed it. So yeah, it was like super epic, like killed it basically at the last moment. So it was fun. Everybody was super stoked. And yeah, I mean, all the sentiments from, like, I talked to everybody just about like how it went and sort of was listening in, and everybody sort of loved that boss. So
yeah, this Sire Denathrius, I think, is a better boss than, I think it's better than any of the other bosses in Castle Nathria. I think it's just the best boss in Castle Nathria. And like, this is colored by my perspective as a tank. And I would say it's probably better than any of the bosses that I did in BFA, just like all of them. So
yeah. Yeah. I mean, for a first tier end boss, it's probably one of the most memorable that I've at least seen, right, and sort of been around. So it was a great fight. So yeah, hopefully you guys kill it. I mean, it's funny, I think phase three ends up being like one of the hardest, is the hardest part, right?
Right.
And it does that whole, there's like the two overlap portions that are just ridiculous in terms of movement and personal responsibility.
The diagrams that we have for this boss.
Oh yeah.
They're like, so you end up moving about once every 20 seconds from one position to another. There's just back-to-back-to-back rapid fire mechanics happening.
Yeah, we had,
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, we ended up building a weak aura that basically was like, we had two, one for up and one for downstairs. And it was like, essentially it was like moving to this icon, like, or drop soaks at this icon, move to this icon, and then it had countdowns. And so basically, like, we had people would have that in the middle of their screen. Essentially, it was like, all right, if I get the debuff, I go to moon. If I don't get the debuff, I rotate to skull. And so,
can I steal those from you? We have a weak aura, but it shows up. So it's for both realms, and it says melee to green ranged between whatever and whatever.
Yeah,
and it shows up before Fatal Finesse goes out, and then it disappears when it goes out. So a bunch of people are like, I wasn't paying attention to it, and then I got targeted, and now I don't know where to go. Which, I mean, I want people to just know it without needing the weak aura, but
yeah,
that's maybe asking a little bit much.
Yeah, I will see where we have these posted, because the Pastebin links are dead that we initially used to send them out. So I will I will get them for
you. Worst case, I will invite you to a group in WoW, and you can actually just like share them.
Send them that way. Yeah. No, of course, of course, of course. But yeah, no. So that was, I mean, week or wise was probably one of the coolest things we saw, or I saw. And then yeah. But yeah, it seemed like a great fight. So I'm glad you're enjoying it. And I hope to kill it probably in another 2 or 3 weeks, but I'm more excited that I get to raid next week.
Yeah, you get to be in raid for the first time in a couple of weeks. That's gonna be great.
I'm super excited. Yeah, we're only, it's funny.
Are you gonna be doing farm as your holy paladin or as your mistweaver?
Good question. Probably as my holy paladin for now, but maybe in a couple of weeks sneak in the mistweaver. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. We're only raiding one day next week, so and it's literally like
a break.
Yeah, like as far as we can get, let's do it. Because like, yeah, we did the whole like. Well, you did the same thing. It's like sludge fist for 3 weeks or 2 weeks, and then. Right into Nathir's for 2 or 3 weeks. So it's just been, I think everybody wants a little bit of a break. I've had plenty of a break. So like I need.
Yeah, you're good to go.
Yeah. I mean, I've killed every boss in Valheim at this point. Like I played a bunch of Loop Hero. Like I need some WoW. I need a WoW fix.
Yep.
So. Well, cool. Well, cool. I guess maybe on to the old topic of the day, which I think, like you mentioned, a little bit of a grab bag of a bunch of different stuff. And so I think we talked about this, you and I, kind of all on the side, about what topics we're going to cover. And tonight was supposed to be more of a like patch and review type episode, right? We got a week or 2 weeks at this point to let it set in, see how we've liked it, see what we thought, and then sort of come back and sort of talk about what we, you know, what we felt, right? So the first thing I have on the list here is, does Valor still suck? And yeah, I think this is an easy answer from both of us.
Very few redeeming qualities.
Yeah. I mean,
The thing I will say is, like, I am working on a Warlock alt right now. Mm-hmm. And what Valor does mean that the keys that I do right now, if I get a trinket, for example, from them, if I get a really good trinket, that's actually, like, great. It's not like, oh, damn, I got this in a +2. I wish I had gotten it in the +15 I'm going to be doing in, you know, a week or 2 weeks.
Yep.
There's fewer feel bads about that. So I think that is good. But, like, the amount of Valor that you need to upgrade stuff is actually really high.
Yeah.
The expected amount of Valor we're going to have by the end of the season is not even enough to upgrade every slot to 220, even with the like 5k they started us with. It's just like, and that's not even counting like maybe you start upgrading an item to 220 because it's better than what you had, and then you get another item in that slot that's even better, and now you just wasted all that Valor. And I mean, there's a reason that PvP has the infinitely grindable currency be the one that you use for upgrades, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that it's again, it's a very weird implementation. And one of the things I was kind of going to bring up here more on like the bug side of things as we get to it. But I talked a little, we talked a little bit at the start of this, which was like, what is one thing we'd like to maybe see Blizzard do over the course of this expansion that they haven't done? And it was like, patch more frequently, right? Like that, I explicitly remember having this and being like,
yeah,
if they released a patch every month, I'd be ecstatic. I don't know if I want that anymore.
Because of how half-baked Valor is.
Well, like how half-baked Valor is, the number of bugs that were just a part of this, like 9.0.5 patch in general.
They need to, like, okay, we can go back a little bit and talk about how they fired a bunch of their QA people last expansion. Yeah. We didn't call it beta for Azeroth for nothing, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I've always been kind of happy that I raid on the weekends because it always means that, like, we don't have to deal with the Tuesday hotfix bugs.
Exactly, yeah.
But this is a little bit ridiculous. Like,
hearing you say that, like, you don't even get enough Valor to upgrade all your gear to 220 is just, it's a waste of a system at that point, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's...
It's, like, the only reason you should be spending Valor on an upgrade right now is if it's an item that is basically irreplaceable.
Yeah.
something like if on my warlock, for example, I think Unbound Changeling and there's the Drinking from Spires, they're both really good if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so if I get one of those, like all the valor into that slot, and that's fine, I guess. It really sucked that sucks that there's this kind of trap. You know, right now my bracers are my lowest eye level slot, so if I get bracers from a plus two, it would be incorrect for me to spend valor on it. And if it's and it's not just like a little bit incorrect, it's actually kind of a lot incorrect. And that's even the case, like that the system allows you to make a decision that just screws yourself over,
yeah,
is really bad.
Yeah, we've talked about it probably ad nauseum at this point, but it's just poorly thought out or poorly thought through system. Like the idea of bringing back a currency that you can spend to upgrade gear, awesome. But like all the other systems that interact with it, now and on top of that, the rate at which you gain this is just like it's
135 per key,
which means you have to run what 12 keys to cap a week, right? Something like that.
Isn't it 750 a week that you need?
Oh, it's only 750. Okay. I thought it was 1500 a week.
That was the old that you could hold per week. I'm pretty sure. I haven't actually looked at my valor cap on my warlock.
Yeah, but I mean, in any event, like I don't care about it 750
on my monk. Yeah. I did a key because I have a couple of 220s left, and I want to just like gamble on that box loot.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even at 750, that's still, you know, five keys, right? At the end of the day, or six keys.
Which isn't that bad, in my opinion, with the progressive cap. Because, like, if you only get a key done 1 week and you want a cap, you can just make up the difference, run more keys.
But it's such a weird juxtaposition to, like, your weekly box, which requires you to run 10. So, technically, right, like, four or five of the keys you run a week are worthless in terms of valor progression.
That's actually true. Although I would rather they just reduce the box amount. Like 10 keys is a lot of time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. So, but yeah, I mean, in any event, like Valor sucks. It's not fun.
So, I think we've talked about this a little bit, but if you could have whatever you wanted for Valor, like if you could just take it, throw out what's there and just say, here's a currency, what would the currency do?
So in my mind, the currency would let you both buy an item and upgrade it, right? So like I don't know if this is two different currencies, but I think it leans more heavily on the PvP system, and the idea would end up being like maybe it's a system where you still gain a currency and you use it to buy items, but you used to buy a specific item based on a key you did, right? So maybe they do something where like you complete a plus 10 that week, right? Which means let's say it's a plus 10 mists, which means you can buy up to whatever, I don't know what 10s drop in terms of item level, but you can buy an item from mists up to that item level and then use that currency, then upgrade that item further or beyond if you had like KSM or something like that.
Yeah.
To me, that makes it worthwhile. And you can, and let's sort of hold this as you can only do that once a week. Essentially, you can buy one item a week or whatever that number ends up being, right? I don't think this is an unlimited thing, but you can buy one item a week, or maybe it's you can buy one item per key you do, which probably makes a little bit more sense.
Or they could do it kind of like the PvP system where you get an amount of currency that basically lets you buy like one big item or like two small items. Like you can get bracers and belt in the same week, or you can get a chest piece.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's another way to do it. But I think in terms of PvE, right, it has to be based on the keys you're doing. Yeah. Right. Like, I don't know if I agree with the way they implemented like how you upgrade with like KSM and doing all plus 10s gets you a certain item level, which is, it's whatever. Like that's the way they did it. I think I'm at the end of the day, I'm probably okay with that. But
since I think it's account wide, I'm more okay with it because like I can do KSM on my main and then use that to upgrade stuff on my alts.
Exactly.
Because of that, like I'm okay with it.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But I think in terms of like the actual items you're getting, you need to be able to target it.
Yeah.
Right. And you can't today. Like you can target it in terms of like doing the same dungeon over and over again, but eventually you're gonna
get it.
You may never get it. Yeah. Yeah. So I think I
like where you're going with the idea of having like if I complete a say, you know, plus 10 or plus 15. Mists of Tyrannous Scythe, then I can go to a vendor and that has unlocked the ability for me to buy, say, an Unbound Changeling at like Mythic plus 2 eye level. And then I can spend my Valor and upgrade that, you know, all the way to 220. And it's, you know, more expensive than just getting one to drop from a mist.
Right.
But it does mean that I can guarantee I'm going to get an Unbound Changeling if I want it.
Right, yeah. And I guess to that point, like, even if you could, you wouldn't purchase it at an advanced item level, you could just purchase it at whatever the base item level is, and then use Valor to upgrade it. They're not diminishing the system, but at that point, you've, like, said, I need to do a mist, like, this trinket or this weapon I want is really good. I'm going to do that dungeon. I'm going to get the ability to then purchase it, and then I'm going to upgrade it by doing whatever I want, right? Because at that point, like, today, if you really want to get an item and use your Valor, you want to target the item first and then collect the Valor second, right? Which means you, and in today's experience, you may cap your Valor and you're still targeting the item, which I think is the part of the system that feels bad, right?
Yeah. It actually has led to some really weird things where, like, Halls of Atonement doesn't drop any really desirable trinkets. So it's actually kind of hard to get people to do Halls of Atonement.
I've had
a couple of our socials in our guild complain about trying to get people to do their Halls of Atonement key. And they're asking, like, is it normal for just nobody to apply to a Halls of Atonement key? What are you going to get for it? All you're going to get is Valor and Score. And, I mean, most people don't need the Score for, you know, 15-ish Halls of Atonement at this point. Yeah. And you can get Valor from any key, so you might as well do one that also drops a trinket.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I think that's sort of like, I understand why Blizzard doesn't just put a vendor with all the gear on it that you can buy with Valor. Like, I get the reasoning behind that in terms of at least the PvE side of things, right?
Yeah.
But I think they need to provide, I think what would be helpful in terms of the game is that it would be helpful if they provided a way for you to target specifically the item you want and not have to rely solely on RNG, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's a difficulty. And I mean, I know we're playing an MMO, we're playing an RPG, so at the end of the day, there is some randomness there, but we also play in a very, in the terms of games, everything's very, like, service-based or, like, seasonal-based. So, like,
yeah. I have a scale right now of a scale of a car, and if I could take that and carry it forward and, for one thing, be able to upgrade it with Valor in the first place, because I can't right now.
Right.
But if I could take that forward and upgrade it every season, you know, I think it actually would be fine right now. Some people would, you know, still get unlucky and still take forever to get a trinket that they're looking for. But then they could take that trinket and they could upgrade it next season, and they wouldn't have to grind it again. And then getting the trinket would be like, yes, I have it, instead of like, yeah, I wish I had gotten this when it was actually still relevant. Now it's good for like a month, but I'm not actually going to be playing this character that much anymore.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I think this comes back to like Blizzard just trying to push something in because they saw like a lot of the community feedback on like how well the PvP system worked, right?
Yeah.
And they just didn't think it through, right?
Yeah, I don't think they really understood what made the PvP system good. And because if they did, they wouldn't have given us this Valor system.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, like, I mean, or it's one of the, like, here's the cynic in me is more like they had to do something. So this was the easiest something they could do.
I mean, yeah, that's right. True.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, I mean,
Did you notice you could upgrade your gear in Nashatar, your Valor gear? Have you seen that?
Oh, I had not.
You can go to Nashatar.
Some people were talking in guild. Apparently, you can do it at the Covenant vendors. You can upgrade things at too.
Yeah. So my point is like they just literally took in up the upgrade system as is and just applied it to gear that dropped in Mythic Plus, right?
Yeah. I wonder if you can go to a PvP vendor and upgrade your Valor gear.
I don't know. Probably.
But yeah, I mean, what the system at the end of the day really needs is some way of if they're going to insist on not letting us upgrade gear across seasons, which that would be my preferred solution, just like period, just let us upgrade gear across seasons. I wish that they would, they need some way of giving us a more deterministic way to get these items.
Yeah.
Because like, yeah, randomness is there and like it's inherent in this kind of game. Like I play D&D, you know, yeah. I understand, but part of games like this is also that you have to control the variance, right?
Yeah.
You can't just like say, oh, it's a 1 in a million chance. Like most of you are going to get it eventually.
Exactly.
It's like, no, the variance on that is insane. Some people are going to get it right away, and a lot of other people are going to never get it. And that's the experience of getting a trinket right now.
Yeah.
When you add in the fact that like, we're going to have to grind these trinkets again next tier. I'm not doing more the other side keys right now to get a scale of a car that I can upgrade with Valor. This is going to be good for a month. It took me 12 or 13 runs to get it in the first place. And again, that is somewhere on the order of like 12 to 13 hours in that dungeon. That's a lot of time. Yeah. I'm not doing that again, or God forbid it takes me 40 like it took the tank on the other team in my guild. Like, absolutely fucking not.
That's so funny. That's so funny. Yeah. I mean, I hope they implement something somewhat of a vendor-based system, or, but
I think, I think the most important thing is actually like they could leave everything off of the vendor except for trinkets. And if they put trinkets on the vendor, I'd be happy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. But yeah, Valor is what it is. It didn't look good when they came out, and it's not good now.
It hasn't played out.
Yeah.
It has not played out well.
Yeah. So the other thing, the other quick sort of thing I had was just a general class changes and how they feel. I forget the Brewmaster stuff, but for Mistweaver, we got just some mana reduction to two of our spells. Funnily enough, I've actually felt it in doing keys on nice. My monk. So it's felt like, to be fair, like, I don't know if I'm going, it might just be maybe a placebo effect or something like that, but, it doesn't feel like I'm going through mana as quickly, just in terms of like when I'm casting and things like that. So potentially somewhat of a change there. I have not rated yet on my monk, so I don't know how large of a variance it's going to be there. But it's felt okay. Right.
Yeah.
I think all the things that I complained about or didn't enjoy with Mistweaver previous to this change are all still there, right? So it doesn't stop those from being there, but it feels okay. It feels okay. So it's funny. Yeah. I had to write something up for Wowhead about some healer balance stuff based on these changes, and I was looking at, you mentioned like zero holy priests have killed the mythic Denathrius, right? It's only like 15 or 16 when I checked last night. Mistweavers have. And so then I was like, oh, I wonder how many have killed, you know, Stone Legion generals. And it was like 30. I was like, oh, that's not a lot. And I went back to Council Blood. And there's about 250 or 300 public parses of kills for Mistweavers on the final four bosses combined. There are 1,400 shaman mythic Denathrius kills only. Like, publicly parsed characters that have killed it. So I think the reason I bring this up is it's just also a very, like, it's tough to get the, like, feedback on this stuff from, I think, a Mistweaver perspective, because, like, no one plays it. Like, no one plays it at a high level. And it's not, like, a joke. It's, like, looking at public logs, like, literally no one plays it.
it's
tough.
It's one of the... We ask for reworks of classes and specs more often than is actually realistic, but Mistweaver needs one. It's needed one since the beginning of Legion, when it got one and it was bad.
Yeah, well, it was half-baked and fucking shit, so let's just call it what it is. Like, pouring RO power into Essence Font, which canceled when you moved and ate all your mana at the beginning of the channel, was just a horrible design. Like, a 3-second channeled ability in a raid where you had movement, a ton of movement and stuff to dodge and soak and things like that, that was the bulk of a Mistweaver's heal from an efficiency perspective, is a bad ability.
Yeah. I don't even play Miss Root, and I would be happy if they deleted Essence Font.
Can't wait.
And I know there's a bunch of other people in the raiding Miss Weaver community that would be right there with it. Like, yeah. Get rid of Essence Font. Basically, if they took Miss Weaver and made it play like Holy Paladin, and then like
so much fun.
Honestly, they wouldn't even need to fix Revival. They do need to fix Revival eventually, but you know, one problem at a time. If they made Miss Weaver like Holy Paladin, except with HOTS, or just kind of how kick weaving worked in Nyalotha before they dumpstered it.
Yeah.
If they design it and do it intentionally instead of letting it be something that happens because of how insane corruption scaling was, then Miss Weaver might see some play.
We can dream.
Not like world first play, but some play.
Some play, yeah. Yeah, it was funny. Like, looking at those numbers, actually, I was surprised at how low. Like, I wasn't surprised at the Denathrius kills. Wasn't really surprised at the Stone Legion general kills. But, like, the Sludge Fist and Council of Blood kills, like only being, like, Council of Blood was, like, I think 200 or 150 public parses, basically, right? Based on just Warcraft logs. It's just a insanely low number. When for that same boss, you have, like, 7,000 paladin kills of it, like, or characters that are paladins have killed it, which is just like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know how Blizzard looks at that and is like, man, like, it's not that they want every class, they want players to play every class, right? They don't want to push people to play a class because it's overpowered, but like, something's wrong. Like,
yeah, I mean, Holy Priest is right there in the same boat.
Oh yeah,
where, I mean, honestly. Does Holy Priest even have barrier? Mm. Honestly, if they just gave Holy Priest barrier, it would probably see play.
Yeah, I mean, it does a lot of healing, so.
It does a lot of healing. And sometimes it's actually, like, Disc Priest is extremely good. Spirit Shell is really dumb. But sometimes you actually just need someone to do dumb amounts of throughput, but you can't give up a ring cooldown for that. Basically, because Salvation is not even a little bit close.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, we'll see. But yeah, I mean, in general, I felt somewhat of an impact, right, of just the mana changes. When I talked about this initially, I liked the mana changes to start with, just because slapping more spell power on abilities doesn't really change the fact that
you ran out of mana trying to use.
Yeah. Them. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So. As far as Brewmaster, I have not played with either of the legendaries that got changed because Mighty Poor is irrelevant for the content that I'm doing, and Xiaohao's Might is still bad. So I am still using the same legendaries as I was before. I do know that some of the high-end Mythic Plus players have been testing out Mighty Poor with the changes to it. Some of them were testing it even before 9.0.5, I believe. And I have not spoken with any of them. I do not know the consensus. I have a feeling that for the people that are doing 25 plus keys right now, it's actually probably going to be very good. Just on the basis of just you take so much more damage to those purifies, those extra purifies it gives you are actually going to be fairly impactful. And the armor that you get during Celestial Brew, like, it's not going to do that much. Let's be totally honest.
Yeah.
But since they disconnected the armor from the Celestial Brew buff, you know, even if you have your Celestial Brew consumed immediately, you still get 8 seconds or whatever it is of bonus armor. So that's like, that's fine. And for them, it's probably worth it. I don't know that it is worth it when you can just kite. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't do those keys. I don't do the keys where this legendary is possibly extremely good.
Gotcha.
And if it is very good in those keys, fantastic. I'm happy for it to exist. If it is still bad in those keys, then I want them to redesign it.
Fair enough. Awesome. Yeah, I mean, on the Windwalker side, I haven't had a chance to talk to Babs really about it, but it seemed like the changes were really just bug fixes. So slightly lower damage in terms of that department, but not really.
We are still running our Windwalker. We have a player that swapped from Mage to Windwalker on Stone Legion Generals. And they were looking at the changes to Windwalker in 9.0.5 and like, shall I swap back? And they ended up playing Mage on our Stone Legion General's kill because of the AoE changes, basically.
Yeah.
But they're actually back on Windwalker for Sire Drenathrius, and that's because we actually just want more people in melee. And like, right. Yes, we could have a mage stand in melee with people, but it's easier if it's actually a melee.
Yeah. That's what one of our mages did in melee. He was not happy.
Yeah.
His combust came up with one of the, he had to combust with one of the soak drops, which was never fun for him. So, yeah. So, it seemed like, at least across the board, pretty minor differences, right, in terms of like these changes. So we didn't get any huge reworks or huge shifts in power.
I think one of the probably most impactful ones is the changes they made to Marksmanship Hunter. There are people that are like all doom and gloom skies falling about those. They're still very good, you guys. Like, Marksman is still a very good spec. Wild Spirits is not quite as dumb, and Marksmanship AoE in general is a little bit more in line with the rest of the world. But it's still totally good. We have two of them, and if not for some like utility reasons, we would probably play a third one on Sire Drenathrius. Like, they're fine. Nice. They're fine.
Nice. That's what we like to hear.
But speaking of Windwalkers, the next thing that we have on our list for today is some of the bugs that have been found, and some of these are from 9.0.5. Some of them are a lot older than that.
Yes.
So first off, spinning crane kick for Windwalkers is no longer benefiting from their mastery.
Yikes.
So that's just like a straight up like 20 to 30% damage off the top for spinning crane kick. Which definitely doesn't like, this is like kicking them while they're down.
Yeah.
Because this is something that was introduced in the hotfix this week.
Oh, God. I didn't realize that.
Because they hotfixed something with an Azerite trait.
What?
I'm pretty sure. Hang on. Let me... Baz was talking to me, but I'm actually going to pull it up so I get this right. But I'm fairly sure. Let's see.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
They fixed Dance of Cheesy Azerite scaling a day or two ago. Probably came with that.
Dance of Chi-Gi,
Azerite trait scaling. They've got a talent of the same name now, but it's specifically the Azerite scaling that they fixed.
That's so weird that still affects things.
I don't know how they built the Azerite system, but they honestly just need to get rid of it. Like, yeah. I don't know if they even can at this point, but I don't care if all of the Azerite traits from BFA just stop working. Like, yeah, all I wonder how right they here, all if all of them are just like dumb items with stats on them. Nobody cares.
I feel like this isn't the first time we've heard of like Azerite traits. Maybe for monks it is, but the first time we've heard with Azerite traits being touched and like impacting classes like today, as in like Shadowlands, like 9.0.1 or whatever. Which is so dumb, which is like goes even back to when Azerite was a thing and like it would just randomly stop working until like you unequipped and re-equipped it or something like that. Do you remember those bugs?
Yeah. And even the people like this is, I think, has been fixed. I think the fix finally landed in 9.0.5, but there was the issue where if you had at one point had Bulwark of the Masses equipped and then went into Shadowlands, it would continue proccing even once you took your Heart of Azeroth and Azerite off, but it would proc as a zero absorb shield and prevent any other absorbs from working, which is obviously very bad.
Yeah. Jesus.
And I think that's been fixed, but it's that kind of thing is like, I don't know what kind of spaghetti.
Yeah. I don't know how that's
is involved in that system, but
that's so weird.
One, they shouldn't have fired their QA team. Because they clearly need one.
Yeah.
And two, what the fuck?
Yeah. I don't even know what to say about that. That's funny.
Next one is a little bit more of a easy to understand how they made this kind of mistake kind of thing. Pelagos's final trait in his Soulbind tree, Let Go of the Past, reduces the damage you take from, I think, just magic effects by up to 3%. It stacks over time. Mm-hmm. It's actually increasing the damage you take right now. So if you take that final point, you're actually taking 3% damage.
Oh my gosh. Jesus, dude.
And it's just a missing minus sign. That's all it is.
Yeah, just the wrong. Yeah.
And it's been that way since the beginning of Shadow. It's been that way since Shadowlands beta.
That's so funny.
Oh my god.
I feel bad, like, and we'll talk, the next one's actually, I think, the worst one of the bunch, right?
Yeah.
But like, I wonder, like, where, like, I just don't understand how something like this gets through, because, like, I've been in software development at large companies before. Well, I've never been in game development. I'm not gonna...
This in particular, this one I can see slipping through, because it's something even the community missed for months. It's the kind of thing where it's just a missing minus sign on some spell data. And it's a small effect, so it's not something that's very easy to notice.
That's fair.
It's like...
I just don't know. Like, I just don't... But my point is, like, I just don't know why they have, like, a test plan where it's like, all right, here's, like, all the permutations of the Soulbind tree. Test this one. Does all the math work out? Like, can I go in game, have the Soulbind tree inactive, and, like, go in combat and do things? Or, like go in a raid boss and do things? And, like, all right, is the output expected? Like, and maybe this is a function of the fact that they make unnecessarily complex systems.
Yeah.
Like Soulbinds.
Yeah.
We're like...
Delete Soulbinds. Hashtag delete Soulbinds.
Can't just possibly test all the permutations. I don't know. But that...
You actually can. Like, there are a lot of permutations, but it's not an infeasible number. They couldn't do it after every single change, though. It would be impractical to do it after every single change. But you don't need to. Because most of the Soulbind traits don't interact with one another. So you really could just test each Soulbind trait once and get, like... 95% of the kind of coverage that you need. And then there'd be that 5% of that potential interactions and that maybe some would slip through, but
yeah, it would just, I mean, I guess it's tough to have your QA team test something when your developers are changing it on like 4:30 on a Friday, the Friday before patch. Difficult to get QA in the building to test those things. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. We'll talk about this last one, and then I have a couple of things to say about this.
Okay. Vengeance Demon Hunters. There's been a Wowhead post now. That will be in the show notes. They take about 30% reduced damage from magic. Baseline. No soul binds, no conduits, nothing. Baseline 30% magic damage reduction. It's supposed to be 15%. It's supposed to be just like part of their kit. And 15% would already be good. They're getting double the value. And I didn't actually know about this. So I'm going to like detour from this bug. Okay, real quick. They have a soul. They have a conduit that gives them like 10% magic DR at all times.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Who the fuck designed that? And then went and looked at the brewmaster traits and went, this seems fine. None of the brewmaster ones are even in the same universe. It's not even close.
Seems okay.
We have one that doesn't work on literally anything except for one spell.
But it is
a brewmaster specific one.
But it does work, right? I feel like I'm Captain Jack Sparrow, but you have heard it. It does work.
Like, if they gave every tank the option of taking a conduit that said you take 10% reduced magic damage, everybody would take it. It would honestly probably, like, it wouldn't quite be mandatory, but it would basically be mandatory. It would be better than any other conduit every single tank has.
Yeah.
It's actually nuts. But then back on the topic of the bug. So basically, going into Shadowlands, they split the passive that Demon Hunters get, their tattoos. I don't know what it's actually called. Demon Wards or whatever. That reads, your tattoos reduce magic damage you take by X percent. And it's specifically actually for Vengeance. I think it says all damage. Mm-hmm. And then Vengeance has, so both specs have two ranks of it. It goes from 5% at like level 11 or whatever when they pick it up to 10% at like level 40. And then Demon Hunter, Vengeance Demon Hunters have a third rank at level 50-ish that puts it up to 15%. And then the Viscous Ink, I think is the name of the conduit, interacts with that and says your demonic wards grants you X percent additional magic damage reduction. Mm-hmm. And even though Vengeance does have this DR, the demonic wards only for physical damage is actually correctly 15% as far as we can tell. Only for magic damage is it doing double the value. So the effect is that if they fix this, Demon Hunters will be taking about 22% more magic damage than they are right now. Which, like, I've seen some Brewmaster books, okay? I was the one that found the environmental damage bug in Uldir. I was one of the people that did the math on the bug with Celestial Fortune, or Gift of the Ox, healing too much in Eternal Palace. Like, I've been a part of getting those reported and fixed, because we don't want tuning changes to be made based on a bugged state, because then when they go back in and fix the bugs, we're just going to be left in a broken state. See also Windwalkers.
Right.
This bug has existed since, we have records of it existing since the beginning of Shadowlands beta. And
which is wild.
Vengeance got gutted. Like, yeah. Their self-healing got gutted at the end of beta because they were too strong. And they're still the best Mythic Plus tank. And there's multiple reasons for that, but taking 20% less magic damage than any other tank for free.
Pretty big.
Pretty big. Like, if you said, you know, you can get rid of, let's say, Expel Harm and get, actually, you know what? No, even bigger than that. I would get rid of Celestial Fortune and take 20% reduced magic damage. I would make that trade in Jesus. Keys.
Jesus. That's great. I mean, like, the fact that, I mean, there's a couple things at work here, which I think is interesting, right? Because it's weird that, you know, this was noticed, I think, by just a single person, right? And was after they started playing an alt and realized that there was, like, certain, at least the way the WoWhead article reads, right?
Yeah.
Right,
like, so the author is, I think, Itame. Yeah. And so, yeah, basically they were playing an alt in their Vengeance main, and they were like, why is everything hurt? Why is everything pain?
Yeah.
And yeah. The reason is that Vengeance Demon Hunters are just casually walking around with 40% magic damage reduction before versatility.
Yeah. Which is, like, it's one of those things where it's like, I feel like, again, this goes back to that whole testing thing where it's like Blizzard has entirely way more data than we do in terms of, yeah, like what they see at the game. Right. And there is no way that, like, it feels just weird as a part of their tuning process, they don't look at live data or even their own test data and look at, like, oh, in these scenarios, this tank is taking this much damage, or in this scenario, like, these tanks are taking this type of damage.
It's one of those things where they knew Vengeance was too good
because they nerfed it.
They right. nerfed it.
But did they not know why?
They didn't know why.
This is me simulating pulling my hair out, because it's like, you literally design this. Like, this is where I get frustrated with this, is that, like, they have always said it, and this has been sort of a narrative that we've had in the past about, like, whenever individuals from the community have asked for changes or asked for tuning or asked for, like, reworks, Blizzard has always said, like, we have more data than you. You're looking at a very small subset. A lot of people reference Warcraft logs, which, while it has a ton of information, is ultimately not as much information as Blizzard will ever have on the game. Like, they will always have more data, yeah, and more data points about the game and things that happen. But something like this is, to me, is a very simple thing to test. In terms of, like, you have the ability to place characters in a game in a very same scenario, right? And, like, just change out the class that's there. And, like, you can test and you can look at, like, I'm about to nerf Demon Hunter. Awesome. Why am I nerfing it? Well, it takes almost no damage, has a ton of self-healing. Let's nerf some things to bring it more in line with the other tanks. Great. But, like, why is it taking so much reduced damage? Like, and they didn't ask that question, I feel like.
Yeah, and this is one of those things, too, where people didn't notice it, again, for a long time. And some of that is because there was a lot of churn on the Shadowlands beta. And this also comes back to why Let Go of the Past for Pelagos lasted for such a long time. There was a lot of churn on the Shadowlands beta. A lot of things were changing. A lot of things were broken for an extended period of time, including a bunch of Vengeance stuff. It was actually just flat out broken. So that was part of the reason. But then the second part of the reason is it's a very difficult thing to actually prove that this is happening. Now, I mean, I guess I shouldn't say that. It's like, it's very difficult to narrow it down to a specific thing. So you know Vengeance is good, right? They've got demonic wards. They have the Fiery Brand Legendary that's very good. Is the reason that they are taking a lot less damage just because of the Fiery Brand Legendary? And the answer is no, but because a lot of people are running that legendary, it's actually kind of hard sometimes to see what kind of damage they're taking outside their Fiery Brand windows because it's up like 80% of the time. Right. So it one of the things, so I have a log from our Lady Darkvein kill where my co-tank wasn't running Viscous Ink, wasn't running Pelagos, wasn't like, it's just straight, here's a stock Demon Hunter, he's got like 8% versatility or something, and he's taking 38% reduced magic damage without Fiery Brand up.
Yeah.
And the numbers match. So basically the Demonic Ward's passive is being doubled, but only for magic damage for Vengeance Demon Hunters. And there's a lot of argument, I will say, within the tank community about what this would do if they just fixed it. Like if on Monday we saw a hotfix that said fix demonic wards.
Yeah.
If we saw that, what would happen? And honestly, it's super, super, super hard to say. Like, I think Vengeance would still be pretty good. Probably still the best tank in Mythic Plus right now on the basis of other things like the Fiery Brand Legendary and their ability to kite. But it becomes a lot closer.
Yeah.
Because again, having basically Iron Bark for magic damage up 24/7 is a lot.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's a ridiculous amount, and the fact that it's been around since before the end of beta, I think is it's like, it just points to the fact that like Blizzard might actually be moving too quickly for their own good. Right.
I never thought I'd say that. I don't think that's the root issue. And you hinted at this earlier, and I think this other issue is the real thing. Their systems are too complex for their own good. Soulbinds didn't need to exist. Soulbinds are one of the big things that took a huge amount of time on beta. They didn't need to exist. Nobody would care. We cannot have conduits. Like, just get rid of them. I don't want them. They're not fun. They're not interesting.
I don't think I've changed mine. I don't think I've changed my conduits ever.
Yeah. I mean, Brewmasters have one conduit, basically. We have Walk with the Ox and everything else is irrelevant.
Yeah, but I mean, like, yeah, and like my trees, I don't flip or change them or do anything different. Maybe I'm an abnormal player.
I changed my tree today because I found out Pelagos was actually just making me take 3% more magic damage.
Well, I mean, okay, so fair.
That's
fair.
The first time since I switched to Kyrian that I have changed my tree.
Yeah, it's just, you're right. It's an overly complex system that
has no real benefit.
Yeah, that once figured out is like not an issue. It is a non-issue in terms of I don't know, but like, so, but to be fair, like they've had other systems in the past that had very little interaction, but I think were enjoyed more. Like, to me,
the artifact system is an example.
It's like you figured out what the most optimal way was to, in terms of like what points go where, but at the end of the day, you were getting every point anyway. So like, it didn't really matter what you clicked where, but you know what was fun? Clicking the fucking button and watching the number go up. Like, that was fun. All right.
Oh, I actually, when we get to the end of the episode, I have a recommendation of a game for you for bars go up.
Oh, nice. I'm excited. But yes, I mean, I think, you know, I think you're right is that it's one of those things where it's almost like they're the kid in class that everyone hated because they try to ask the question that stumped the teacher, right? Like, you know, that type of person who was like,
yeah,
hey, I'm gonna sound smart because I'm gonna ask this question that's like far out there, and like the teacher's not gonna know what to do with it or whatever, or like just answer in a way that like was a similar fashion, and it's like unneeded, right? Like, maybe yeah. You do that once or twice and really be like, yeah, I'm like huge brain kid, like I know what I'm talking about, but like
this also ever. Like this same kind of thing happens in software development, right? Like, you if you've worked with any legacy systems at any point, you will eventually run into someone that had a brilliant idea on how to organize something. And it's like layers on layers of complexity to solve some problem where like the problem they were solving is like, I don't want to copy and paste these three lines of code two times. And so they've got like 400 lines of complex machinery to avoid having to duplicate that code.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, it's that issue of just being complex to be complex. And like, I get the fact that, you know, there is an expectation when we move from expansion to expansion that there is a new system to interact with, something new and large that like basically, you know, equates or justifies the cost you're going to spend, right? The money you're going to spend to buy the expansion. I think there needs to be something in there. But at a certain
I think there's like, there's three main groups of people, right? There's the people that buy an expansion for the raids in it. That's like me and you. And the I wouldn't say literally the expansion only needs new raids, but the expansion has new raids and that's why we're buying it.
Yeah.
Then there's the people that play a lot more casually and like the new expansion has new zones that they can level through. You get new buttons to press. And maybe you do normal and you do the new dungeons, but not a whole lot beyond that. And that's fine. Soulbinds don't matter to either of those groups. Then there's a third group and they're PvPers and they are like, I don't know anything. I don't know if they care about Soulbinds or not. If this is a system for PvPers, just enable it in PvP, honestly.
Yeah. No, I mean, Azerite was like this. Like, it seems like whoever is dreaming up these systems at Blizzard, like, I don't want to disparage anybody's job, right? Or, like, say that, you know, they should be fired, because I don't think that would be the answer. But someone needs to say no to that person, maybe. Like, someone needs to be the person to just be like, hey, this might not be the best idea.
So, and I'm gonna drop an F-bomb again. Final Fantasy.
Oh, God. I hate this game.
Final Fantasy doesn't introduce new systems like this every expansion. Okay. A new Final Fantasy expansion is coming out, I think it's this year, maybe early next year. A new expansion is coming out, and you know what's coming in it? New zones.
Okay.
New raids.
Okay, I'm down.
New dungeons.
Love it.
New level cap.
Okay, I'm there.
And a new class. Which they have a lot, because of the fact that they only, like, every class is just one class and not basically three classes because of specs, it's a lot less for them to add a new class. They're actually adding, this is only, like, their fourth healer.
Gotcha.
So, it's a little bit different than WoW adding a class. But still, like, I'm gonna buy it. I'm probably never going to play the new class.
Yeah.
Just, like, never.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that... That makes sense. Like, I would do the same thing if WoW did that, right? Like, I think, you're 100% right with me. Is like, if literally expansion was $40, I got three new raids, I'll spend the $40 and pay my monthly subscription and do the three new raids and be super happy, right? But yeah, I mean, I think in terms of like systems and like these bugs and things like that, it's probably a combination of things, right? It's the systems are now more complex than they've ever been, right? And there's a bunch of probably tech debt built into the game, right?
Yeah.
Where like there's just the engine is old, like the way that things are hooked together is just someone made a decision, to your point, 12 years ago, and like now you're living with the ramifications of that decision, right? I think in terms of the bugs, like the DH bug, right, and even just in conduits in general and the covenant system, like testing all of that was probably a nightmare, and like they didn't give the community a chance to test it either, right? Like they never gave us additional pre-mades, like with the final changes.
Yeah,
in
we
it,
stopped right? having pre-mades like 3 months before the expansion went live.
Exactly, which is like you're gonna get so much less data that, there, right? In any event, like the Vengeance DH bug is massive, right? Not surprising.
Yeah. It's bigger than any of the Brewmaster bugs, except the only one that maybe even comes close is the one with environmental damage accidentally healing the Brewmaster.
Yeah.
And that is like, there are bosses like Jaina where it would have been massive, and then there are a bunch of bosses like Sire Denathrius has almost no environmental damage and it would have done nothing, you know.
Gotcha.
Like,
yeah.
There are cases where it would have been really good, and there are far more cases where it's just kind of whatever, which is the magic damage is everywhere. Magic damage is in every fight. Often it is a key part of the fight. And, you know, the end of Sire Denathrius, the dot that goes on tanks, Scorn, is a magic dot. And so Vengeance is very, very good for that compared to anything else right now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, that reminds me, there is a Mistweaver bug that I guess people have just found it. So I'll say that I have known about this for a while. I thought this was more widely known because, so it deals with spell queuing. So what ends up happening is it deals with Thunder Focus T. So Thunder Focus T, of course,
Thunder Focus T bug that Abe was talking about.
Yeah, basically it'll buff one of your abilities, normally only once. However, if you buffer it, it will actually buff two. So basically, if you use Thunder Focus T, cast Vivify, and then immediately, as in you're spamming Rising Sun Kick as your Vivify is ending, you'll actually gain the benefit with both those spells. So Vivify will be zero mana cost, Rising Sun Kick will be like we'll a 2 or 3 second cooldown. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that bug, I feel like, has been in there for a while now. It does not work with Focus Thunder. Focus Thunder will just eat both charges. So Focus Thunder is, of course, the talent that gives you two charges every time you use Thunder
Focus. What happens if you only, like, if you do this with your second charge of Focus Thunder? Does it still work?
It should. Yeah, I haven't actually tested it specifically, but yeah, it should still work on that. So it's essentially like a queuing bug. Like we've seen it with in other Mistweaver spells, like Extend Life used to do
on
this.
The subject of possible queuing bugs.
Yeah.
So we had a bit of a discussion in Brew Questions today. Someone coming in and asking why the correct way to play was to not autocast Stomp and then macro Purifying Stomp into Purifying Brew. And this completely blindsided us. Like, nobody in Brew Questions was like doing this. Nobody knew why they were asking about this. Turns out Andy Brew was talking about it on this stream. And so we pinged him. I haven't heard back yet. I have no idea why you would do this. But then Pow, like, to be clear, if everything works as it is intended to work, there is no reason to do that. That is actually just like incorrect to do. Do not do it. But Panini raised the question, and we have not tested that yet. And I really want to be clear here. We have not tested this yet. We're wondering if there might be a queuing bug with Purifying Brew and Stomp, or you might get additional value from the Purify if you macro it, if you macro the Stomp in there. So we are going to do some testing and see what that looks like.
That's funny. Because like that's always been the thing with Blizzard. Like, we've seen this in combat logs, like you and I working with WoW analyzer stuff, where like things just happen, but there's a gap, right? Like things that are supposed to be instant together, there is a slight delay in terms of like the events firing. And like a lot of times that might be just latency in the player doing the logging, right? To whatever the event's happening.
There's layers of separation here between what we see in a log and what actually happens on the server.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm assuming that this is potentially even down to the server level, because we saw this with Extend Life even in Shadowlands beta, right? Like, where the bug there was, of course, if Extend Life would basically add an additional piece of healing every time you put Renewing Mist on someone. And the old version was, if you used Uplift, you would then heal anyone with Extended Life for more. So the idea was you could basically cast Uplift and then put Extend Life or hit someone with Rem, which would apply the Extend Life as the Uplift went off, and still gain the benefit. Like, that brand new, after you finish your Uplift, casted Extend Life would still be healed additionally by the Uplift because of the way the queuing worked on it. So it's always been somewhat of a bug. It used to be worse in Classic and even, you know, the Burning Crusade, which had a larger spell queuing window, or not spell queuing window, but spell batching window, I'm sorry. But yeah, I mean, even today, it's Thunder Focus T is a perfect example. Which is so funny because like everyone was like, oh my God, amazing. I'm like, I felt like this has been around for a while. Like I've done this before. It was always a little bit more difficult because you didn't always want to, like you didn't run Rising Mist. So there was no real reason to cast an additional spell after the Vivify, right?
Right.
If you wanted the free Vivify, awesome. Maybe you had a Renewing Mist shard, so you get an extended Renewing Mist from it. But really, there was never a great reason to do this. I mean, now, of course, there is with Rising Mist being the way to play. But yeah, it was funny when everybody was freaking out. I was like, I'm sure I knew about this. Like, I'm sure I've talked about this with someone. So,
I mean, this is actually kind of a class of bugs that I know of a couple of other ones that have existed in the past. Yeah. So,
but and it's generally just something that like it's not like maybe you play around this one very specifically, but it's so limited in terms of like having to remember this that like you can't just macro the like yeah. for. In your case, if that's what's happening on sort of the stomp and purifying, right? That's much easier to just have a macro way to go, right? But for something like the Thunder Focus T, and you'd basically have to make sure you're in melee, you're casting Vivify, and your Rising Sun kicks off cooldown, and then when those stars align, awesome. But yeah, not something you could really put. I mean, you slightly play around it, but not really. So, but yeah, that was the other. Sorry, that was the other thing I wanted to talk about in terms of bug, which. I don't even know if it's a new bug, but it's out there. So
yeah. So yeah, it's and I want to be clear again that explanation, that queuing thing for Stomp is pure speculation right now. We have not done testing yet, but
be interesting if that was the issue. So
it will be. And if that is actually a queuing bug, then I mean there will be a post about it because that will then be the correct thing to do as far as raid damage goes. If there is that queuing bug there.
Gotcha. That's awesome. Well, cool. Any other bugs or topics or sort of our patch day wrap up?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, then, of course, it is time for my favorite part of the show. And I think, Emilson, you kind of like this one, maybe slightly a little bit. But it's Q&A time, which is where you send in your questions and we answer them. So you can send them to myself or Emilson. You can post them in Twitch chat if you're here live. Or you can, I don't know, tweet at us or just send us messages in Discord. Whatever, however you want to get the question over, we'll answer it. Doesn't even have to be about WoW. We answered an F1 question last week and... yeah, so
I answered an F1 question
race this weekend. I'm excited. Or I guess it's next weekend, not tonight, but next weekend. Anyway, so we have a couple of questions here from a returning favorite, we'll say. And this comes in from, it's like Blazeru, right? Anzaru. Hopefully that's good. Anzaru's got two questions. So first up is, would Babs be open to Babs? I believe he means Babylonius here. Be open to making a DBM voice pack. I don't know.
I have no idea, but I want to ask now.
Yeah. So this got me, the question actually was asked like midweek and it got me intrigued. So I looked at how to make a voice pack for both DBM and Bigwigs. And it's actually not that difficult in terms of like structure. You basically just have to record yourself and then you, you get
so
it out there.
I can already see what this looks like. Because we have a couple of in-guild memes related to Babs. so there is a... I don't even remember what fight. It was sometime in, like, Eternal Palace. He... Just, like, somebody screwed up with BK. He was just like, you fucking meatball. So now, like, their trial rank in guild is called Trial Meatball.
And so good.
He's never living that down. But, like, I just want to take... We have a Twitch clip of that. I want to take that and just rip his voice out and be like, there you go, fucking in the voice meatball. Pack.
That'd be so good.
Like,
yeah,
movie
so...
fucking meatball.
That'd be so awesome. Yeah, so we should ask him and see if he'd be down to do it. But yeah, I don't know. I think voice pack would be cool. I think it'd be interesting to see, so... it's funny that this came up right around this point too, because there's a bunch of call-outs. Like I mentioned, my shaman, we killed Sire. There's a huge he basically like screams fuck and then slams his desk, and we might turn that into sort of a weak aura sound for our next tier in terms of like you did something wrong, like, and just that'll scream in your ears. So
yeah.
This
is a golden idea.
We'll get to the bottom of this for you. For Anzaru. Blazeroo. All right, so I'm just gonna call him Blazeroo. I feel like that's a better name. Just name this dude. So thank you. So, and then Anzu's got a follow up. So Blazeroo, aka ask 30 monk Castle Nathria heroic when ? Look, man, when you can find more than two Mistweavers who are playing this game, you can try your 30 monk heroic. But at that point, but until that point, you're screwed. I mean, there's plenty of brewmasters out there.
Once in your life, you're not going to have a hard time tracking down Windwalkers.
No, but I mean, you can maybe ping one of the 15 monks that have publicly logged a kill of Mythic Sire and Athreus. Maybe they'll help you out because they're done progressing for a little bit. But, you know, you'd probably be better off, you know, asking another class where every other class has triple digits or more in terms of kills. I guess unless you're a Holy Priest, but they don't matter because you can just play Disc. But yeah, I don't know. To be fair, I've never done a 30 class raid ever.
I haven't been in one for monks. I think there was someone that organized some last expansion, but
yeah, I have zero desire to organize something like this. I barely can organize my own life, let alone getting 20 other people to show up at something.
It's one of those things too, where it kind of suffers from the EU NA split, where like there's a bunch of people. We could probably organize one almost just from Brew Lounge. Except for the fact that like half the people are NA and half the people are EU. So we would end up with like 8 people in one and 7 people in another and just not quite be able to pull it off.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, it would be cool. I just probably never, because you're never going to find the Mistweavers to heal it. So unfortunate.
You just make the Windwalkers go Mistweaver. Easy. Just like last expansion, to make it work, you made the Brewmasters go Windwalker.
That is true. But Blazeroo, thank you very much for the questions. And the final question this week, it's a short question week actually this week, comes from Anomaly, and they ask directly to Emelson, how much do you love what's DST?
Daylight Savings Time.
Why would they ask that? Emelson, I don't get it.
Oh my god. So Daylight Savings Time, for those that maybe don't live in the part of the world that uses this godforsaken system, happened on Sunday, last Sunday, in the United States. And what that basically means is that everywhere in the world, or everywhere in the United States, it just like went 1 hour later. So we lose an hour of sleep. That's kind of enough to hate it in its own right. But it has this extra quirk where our raid times, for example, are 8 o'clock to midnight on Friday and 7 o'clock to 11 o'clock on Sunday. Daylight savings time doesn't change that. It's still 8 to midnight and it's still 7 to 11. So even though for the rest of the world, we actually raid an hour earlier, we are still raiding in the same time as far as our time zone is concerned. Which means that for the progression stats website that does estimation of people's raid times, I had to take that into account because our raid times are going to basically change. They change when daylight savings time happens. There's, you know, if you record time outside of a daylight savings time zone, the time at which we raid is different.
So good.
Which presents some issues because all of the times that we get from Blizzard, for example, or that I get from Warcraft logs, I guess, I don't know what they get from Blizzard, but the times from Warcraft logs are in standard time, universal standard time, which is GMT plus zero. And there's no daylight savings time there.
Oh, it's always the same time there.
It's there's no seasonal variation. So our times basically went from, you know, midnight to 4 a.m. UTC to 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. UTC. And if I didn't make any changes to how raid time inference on the site works, then it would actually just like add an hour to everybody in the United States' raid times.
Gosh, it's so funny.
Which is obviously not what we want to happen. So I had to do a bunch of work to make that happen. And I think I have a pretty clever solution for it. But I have to admit, I did not expect that feature to be like the most time consuming part of that fucking website. I spent so much time on that.
That's too
funny. I've rewritten it probably four times at this point because people keep finding new and interesting ways to log their stuff. Like there's still one that someone sent me that's there. They have a kill that isn't showing up because they had two people log. Each of them has a different part of their slush fist progression from the same night. Okay. They have the same number of pulls. One of them has a kill.
Oh, God.
And the logs overlap. So the rule that I use for overlapping logs is I go with the one that has more pulls. And then if there's a tie, I go with the one that's first, that starts first. One that starts first is missing the kill.
Gosh. That's funny.
And then for the extra fun, the log that does have the kill is a multi-day log. So it goes from, you know, midnight on one day to 9 o'clock on the next day. And it's just like,
yeah.
Come on, you guys. How do you can you not just like start the log when you go to raid and turn it off when you're done?
But that would be helpful.
Make my life a lot easier. Like just dealing with, you know, a random DC or people switching out, you know, that's actually really easy. And I had that sorted, you know, before I even posted it. Oh my God, this is so much more work.
That's funny. That's funny. No, yeah, we talked a little bit about this, I think, last week, and then I saw you actually did end up getting raid times in there, which I think was cool. So I wanted to at least.
Yeah. Yep. I figured out a way to do it. It is going to be way less accurate at the beginning of a tier, which is unfortunate. And I'm going to have to figure out how that works at the beginning of next tier. And it might just be that I turn that feature off until, you know, 3 weeks into the tier or something.
Gotcha.
And have it show last week's raid times or last tier's raid times.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it has its downsides for sure. One of which being it is like 500 lines of code to figure out this stupid raid times.
Nice. I love it. Well, Anomaly, thank you very much for the question.
I love how you pronounce that, by the way.
Yeah. No, it was from Anomaly. It's me. I asked this question.
Okay. And then this is another question. But a suggestion for Anom, because you really like bars going up, okay? Have you ever played Stellaris?
I have not.
Okay. It's got like this sidebar on it, okay? And on this sidebar, every entry in the sidebar can have one or more bars that go up.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
Okay. I tried to take a screenshot, but it's actually kind of janky and I couldn't get a screenshot of it on I play this with my younger brother. We have a weekly game that we do when we play co-op. And I just at one point like everything, so it's a like grand strategy kind of game in the vein of Civilization or Master of Orion, if you played that back in the day.
Yeah.
And so it's sci-fi, it's set in space, and you get different planets, and you like build things on the planets, and you build ships, and you have space stations and all this stuff. So at one point I just had literally every planet was building something. Literally every space station had one or more ships building. Literally every I had science ships that were scanning things that had progress bars. I had construction ships that were building things that had progress bars. So I could just scroll up and down and everything had a progress bar going up.
That is so awesome.
It's not you, like you're not doing anything to make the bar go up.
I'm but fine you start with that.
It and you, the bar goes up. There's lots and lots of bars going up. And
I love that.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. I'll have to check it out if you're
like, you know, on the scale from like pure bars going up to like chaotic bars going up. Okay.
Yeah.
If you're a little bit more on the chaotic end, it's got things in the upper left that are just numbers that go up. There's no bars, but there are numbers that go up.
I'm fine with numbers going up. I love auto clickers, like huge. I still have a cookie clicker thing going. It's like 4 years old at this point, 5 years old. I've not lost the save yet.
Yeah, so Humble Bundle had a bundle of the game and a bunch of DLC for like $15.
Okay.
Last week, I don't know if that's still going on, but if you're in need of another game, which it sounds like you have less of a need now that you're going to be back in raid.
I do. Yeah, it's been tough.
If you're in need of more bars going up content, Stellaris has a lot of them.
I'll have to check that out. That's why the like the artifact system was so good, man. You got your AP. bar went up, you reached the next level, you clicked a button. Oh, God, that dopamine hit. I loved it. That's awesome. I'll have to check it out. But yeah, I think that's it now. So again, thanks for the questions, everyone that had them. Of course, we always want more. So send them in. We'll answer them, kind of, maybe, you know. Definitely. Yeah, probably we'll answer them.
We are at 8 months now that we've been doing this since the relaunch.
Almost. That's a long time. That's a very long time.
End of this month is going to be like 8 months. And there's only ever been one question that we didn't answer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So there has only ever been one question that we didn't answer. So send us those questions.
Yes. We'll answer questions. Of course. But other than that, I think that's it for the episode. I don't think
that wraps it up for today. And true to form, I did not say this would be a shorter episode, and it became one.
It did.
It did. By about 15 minutes.
Somehow.
That is going to wrap things up for today. Thank you all for listening. You know, the people that are watching on Twitch right now, hi. But thank you for showing up and watching and hanging out. This show is, of course, brought to you by the Peak of Serenity. And if you want to support it and the other work that we do, you can do that over on our Patreon at patreon.com/peakofserenity. And of course, besides just supporting the show and supporting the site, that also gets you a cool Discord color and some private channels on the Discord, as well as some other perks like being able to join Babylonius's D&D game.
It's very fun. It's very good.
But that has been it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.